1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to pick up in verse 10 and read to verse 16. It's a really rich section of 1 Corinthians. I was going to say after this portion, but every portion of the Word of God is rich. 1 Corinthians 1:10 to 16. Having considered Paul's opening greeting in the church in Corinth, or at Corinth, Paul now begins to address the sin problems that had arisen in the church. Remember, this was an infant church, but at the same time, it was immature in many ways. So, 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, which I believe to be Peter, the apostle, and I of Christ." Verse 13, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius." Remember those two names from Acts chapter 18. "Lest I should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other." Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings on this portion of the Word of God. Teach us, Lord. And Father, I know that many of us are familiar with this passage, even verse 10 and the following. But Lord, there's always truth in the Word of God for us to glean, for us to learn from. And Father, we don't come together for nothing, Lord. We come together for you to speak to us. And so we ask that you do it tonight. We pray that your Spirit would be present among us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we will see here in the scripture, there were schisms and divisions in the church at Corinth. There were groups of believers within this body who were at odds with other groups of believers within the body. I don't know how large the church was, but apparently there were at least four factions. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Of course, the last group was right. But there were factions. "Now I beseech you, brethren," Paul says, "by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, notice Paul began his rebuke of the church by invoking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so don't pass up these opening phrases in verse 10. "I beseech you, brethren, by the name," or "by the authority." I am representing the Lord Jesus Christ. I beseech you by the authority of Christ. I am his spokesman. I am an apostle. I am a sent one. I am speaking his words to you. Now, that's how we ought to always come before the Word of God. That's how you ought to read the Word of God. That's how you ought to hear the Word of God. You ought to put yourself in the place of being spoken to by God. And that's how we should receive the truth of God's words. Paul's speaking to them, and he's telling them, these are the words and the commands of Christ. These are not my words. "Therefore, you ought to give the more earnest heed to them, and to what I am about to say to you." And that's what he's prefacing, what he's about to say to them. And again, this is how we ought to receive any command from the Word of God. As if it's spoken or penned to us personally by the Lord himself. When you read the Word of God, you must receive it as if God is speaking to you, because he is. Listen, there are many whom God speaks to who don't listen and don't heed. But brethren, that's how Paul's speaking to them. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing," Paul said to the church at Thessalonica. He said, Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. That's how we need to receive it. But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That word effectual means that the Spirit of God takes it and energizes it. The word effectual is the Greek word energio. And so that's Paul even said in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, he talked about, we didn't come to you in word only and speak the word of God, but also in power and in much assurance of the Holy Ghost. And so, brethren, we need the Spirit of God. And when I preach the word of God, that's my prayer, is that it would come with the authority of Christ. And that's how every hearer of the word needs to receive it. That's how we need to read the word of God. So he begins, I beseech you, brethren, by the name, by the authority, I represent Christ. And so we should hold the word of God in high regard. We should always hold it in high regard. What does the psalm say? God has magnified his word above his very name. Now, I don't understand all of that, but he's exalted his word above his very name. Next, Paul tells them, you, church, should all be speaking the same thing. There should be no divisions among you or in the midst of you as a church. See, he says there, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. So what does he mean to speak the same thing? Well, I believe Paul was speaking here of unity within the church body. We ought to be a people who are walking together in agreement. When someone comes into Grace Fellowship Baptist Church and meets the brethren here, now we're not like carbon stamp copies of each other, but they ought to hear the same truth from all of us, and they ought to detect the same Spirit of Christ in all of us. Our conversation ought to be very similar. We ought to, more than anything else, and this doesn't go just for in the church here when we meet as a gathering, but we ought to, more than anything else, speak of the things of God and the kingdom of Christ. That ought to be what's, we ought to have words ready to speak. Our tongues should be the pen of a ready writer. Words fitly spoken, like apples of gold and pictures of silver. The proverb means spoken upon his wheels. In other words, that when you speak the truths of God's word, they come out very naturally. They're not forced out. But that's what you speak of, and our conversation should be that you all speak the same things. Listen, if in our hearts we are united to Christ, it stands to reason, brethren, shouldn't it? It stands to reason that we should all speak the same thing. Now here, there were actually divisions. And again, when people come to our gathering and they socialize and listen to the body of Christ here, because listen, people come and they listen. And I'll just tell you that the church has had a good testimony. People have come and said the people are very friendly and they come and greet us and they speak kindness to us, and we should. But they should hear us speaking about the things of God, and they should detect in us one spirit. They should, now, not that we're not differing people and we have differing likes humanly speaking, but they ought to detect a oneness of spirit in all of us. They should experience a oneness within the body here. We should look like a spiritual family. The family of God, sons and daughters of God, the lost and the saved alike should see Christ in you. And so, listen, you look at all of my children and you see resemblances. You look at your children, you see resemblances. When the people of God come in here, they should see the resemblance to our Father in heaven. And so that's what we should be. Now, I'll clarify, we're all different humanly speaking. We have different likes and dislikes. I like Brussels sprouts, you don't. But in Christ, we ought to all be very much the same. Very much the same. E pluribus unum. Out of many, one. And so, if we're united to Christ, and we have the Spirit of Christ, and that Spirit is in us, that spirit should be very conspicuous, apparent in the midst of the assembly. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation, Paul says, be the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind. That's to be us, the church of Christ, striving together. That's the good strife. There's bad strife and good strife. This is good strife, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now look at Jeremiah 32, 39. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 39. On this thought of us having no divisions and that us being on one accord. Jeremiah 32 and verse 39. This is prophetic of the new covenant or the New Testament. It says in verse 38, and they shall be my people and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. See that? I will give them one heart and one way. That's the church of Jesus Christ, children of God. John 17, 20. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed this for us, his church, in his high priestly prayer before his crucifixion. He says there in John 17 and verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone. So Christ actively prayed this for us, brethren. He doesn't pray for his apostles alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Listen, if we're supernaturally saved by the power of God, saved from our sins, and God quarries us out of the world, takes us rough and uncut stones and fits us into the church of God, brethren, then we ought to be also supernaturally of one accord. If the Spirit of God's in us, listen, he gives us a new nature. He says, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. If we've all got that, then we must have an accord. And listen, it's not to say that there's not discord at times among the brethren. I mean, here we see it in the Corinthian church. So Paul's dealing with that. Of course, that brings in the whole doctrine of mortification, that we need to put off the old man and put on the new. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. So brethren, we ought to be one. We ought to be of one mind. We ought to speak the same things. Acts 2:46, one verse. And they continuing daily with one accord. See that? With one accord. In the temple, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness or sincerity of heart. Chapter 4, verse 32 of the Acts. Just a few more of these. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. That's good, huh? Of one heart and one soul. That's what we should be. And then Romans 12, 4 and 5. Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5. Listen, there's no outsiders in the church of Jesus Christ. If God saved you from your sins, then he fits you into the church. You're part of the family of God. 12 and verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office. I mean, think of your human body. So we being many are one body in Christ. Many being one body in Christ. And every one members one of another. That's the church of Jesus Christ. So we ought to all be speaking the same things. And there should be no divisions among us. It's as absurd as my right hand fighting my left. And so, brethren, and listen, it happens in churches, as we see here in Corinthians, so we need to guard against it. Of course, he says that there be no divisions among us, and so you ask yourself, is that even possible? I mean, think, is it possible to have a church with no divisions? Well, humanly speaking, no. But in Christ, all things are possible to those that believe. And so listen, God doesn't give a command to us in the scriptures without giving us the ability to obey that command. You may look at it and say, well, I can't do that. Well, you're right. But with God, all things are possible. In fact, he said that in Matthew 19:28. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Or Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This needs to be something that's an imperative in us. Listen, we need to deliberately live the Christian life. You can't just glide along and live in the world and expect to come in and be of one accord with the believers and being begin to speak the same things. You can't expect to be spiritual if you're living carnal. And so we need to trust the Lord. Yes, it's possible to have a church assembly that's not divided. Genesis 18:4. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Listen, we need to commit this to prayer. This is not something that's just going to automatically happen without diligence in the saints. But again, if God gives the command, we must obey his word by faith. Ask God in prayer for help in fulfilling this command, but also to trust him to grant the ability to do what he commands. So God will do that for us. Those are the things we need to be praying for. God delights to answer those prayers. And then to nail the point even further home, Paul writes, not only should there be no divisions among you, you should be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now listen, outside of Christ, we are full of sin, we are full of envy, we're full of strife. We are all naturally contentious people outside of Christ. And if we're not careful, we could become prideful and contentious as Christians. We need to be careful of that. We won't stay there. God will chastise us, but we need to be very careful. So outside of Christ, we're full of sin and strife and contention. But when God saved us from our sins, he gave us a new heart and a new spirit. Now in Christ, we should be perfectly joined together spiritually, which literally means to be perfectly joined together, literally means to be repaired. It means to be mended. It also means like a dislocated shoulder. It means to be put back in joint. Like if you have a dislocated ankle or a shoulder. It's like when I broke this wrist, it was all crooked. It was way up here. And the doctor had to pull that thing and set it back. Perfectly joined together. We're not born like that. And if we gather together as a gathering of unregenerate sinners, there would be no unity here. But God joins us together. He puts his spirit within us. And so listen, we were like a torn garment, damaged. Now we have been made right and new by God. And now we become perfectly joined together in the church of Jesus Christ. So listen, when God added you to the church, he fitted you into the body of Christ. He fits those worthless stones. He cuts them and fits them to fit into the church of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you that in a minute, but look at Ephesians 2:19. Ephesians 2:19. And you know, Peter says we're living stones. You're lively stones. But in Ephesians 2:19, Paul says here, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. He's talking to the Gentile believers and of the household of God, of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, and notice here, fitly framed together. God fits every saint into the church, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And where's the holy temple in the Lord now? It's us. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God inhabits us now. We know that 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us that, I'll read it to you. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Not in a brick building. And then notice Ephesians 4 and verse 16. This is the passage where Paul says God gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry. And he goes on in verse 13, he says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man." See, we're not there when God saves us. We need maturing. We need growing. We need to be perfected. We need to mature in Christ. "That we," verse 14, "be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." And in verse 16, in reference to being perfectly joined together, "from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, like the perfect piece of a puzzle that fits, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth," every joint of the body, every piece contributes. That's what it means. So if you're a part of the church, you contribute to the body. "According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, and the body makes the increase, it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." That, see, the body edifies itself in love. Now in 1 Kings, just listen to this. When the house of God was in the building, when the temple, Solomon's temple was in the building, says this. And it's a picture of a sinner being saved and fitted into the house of God. See, God does his work in the field. It says here, "And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready at the quarry before it was brought to the temple site to be fitted into it, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built." Those stones were perfectly shaped. And they were brought to the temple in quietness without a tool, and they were fitted right in. The Spirit of God does his work and fits them right in. And so, brethren, we ought to be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Paul goes on to say, in the same mind and in the same judgment. And so even when you look at the same mind and you look at the same judgment, judgment is our opinions, our sentiments. In other words, we all have opinions, right? We have things that we think about things. Well, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, brethren, I believe those will also be very similar. We will have similar opinions on things because we're going to be of the same spirit. Not perfectly the same, but he says we'll be of the same mind and of the same judgment. And I think by judgment, we're going to know that what's right is right in the eyes of God. That's what judgment talks about, what's right and equitable. And like I said before, you'll differ in things that have no spiritual significance. But spiritually, your hearts will be knit together by the Spirit of God. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, they can't. And so, of course, we go to 2 Corinthians, but you know that. And then in verse 11, Paul tells the church that he has been informed. And we'll close here. He's been informed by the house of Chloe about contentions within the body. Now, don't ask me who Chloe is. I don't know who she is. But it was the house of Chloe. It's unknown who she is, but she is believed to be a woman who was a member of the Church of Corinth. Many expositors believe that. It's probably true. I don't know. But Paul writes to inform them. Paul writes to inform the church that it was not specifically Chloe, but it was them who were of the house of Chloe that informed him. Now listen, this must have been a reputable source for Paul because he listened to the house of Chloe. He said, I've been informed by them. It had been declared to me that there are contentions among you. Contentions and quarrelings existing within the body. Now, we know Proverbs 13:10. We talked about it last week. Only by pride comes contention. Only by pride comes contention. If there's contention, if there's divisions, if there's one group that doesn't like the other group, there's pride in the midst of that sin. Now, here were the contentions. One group said, I am of Paul. One group said, I am of Apollos. One group said, I am of Cephas. And the other group said, we are of Christ. Now, you can conjecture why they said those things. First of all, I can conjecture why they said, I am of Apollos, because Apollos was a very eloquent speaker, and the Greeks put a lot of value in that. And those perhaps didn't like Paul because Paul was a contemptible speaker. He spoke of himself like that. His appearance and his speech is contemptible. And then there's the Peter element. Peter initially went to the Gentiles. Of course, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And so for whatever reasons, they begin to put more value in mortal men than in the living God and in Jesus Christ. In fact, the ones who said, I am of Christ, they were right. And listen, and that's what we must remember, brethren. There is only one blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, this is something that Christians do today. We need to be careful with our preachers, that we don't exalt them and that we don't follow them rather than Christ. Some Christians today, they exalt their preachers rather than Christ. They put their faith and trust in men rather than Christ. And that is why there are so many professing Christians in churches that can't tell you what they believe. Because they'll say, well, you know, my pastor, no, what do you say? It's important that you know what your pastor says or your preacher says. But let's take him out of the way. Do you stand by faith in Christ alone? Do you? Or do you have to have him prop you up? Listen, we need to be like the Bereans. We need to hear the word of God and go home and study the scriptures for ourselves, whether those things are so. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Some of these things, you look at this and say, this should be very fundamental. We should not be man followers. But listen, we're all prone to do this, make idols out of men. And so Paul dispels this. And so I would say, yes, listen to your preacher, but go home and study for yourself. And so Paul opens up, obviously, this portion with the first sin problem, and there were contentions. And of course, Paul goes on to say, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? These are good questions to think about when you think about exalting a man. Was Paul crucified for you? No. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. And Paul said, I'm thankful that I only baptized a few, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And so, brethren, we need to be careful of putting too much faith. And of course, Paul even preached. He talked about follow my faith, but as long as my faith is toward Christ, then you need to have your own faith toward Christ. And so we need to be very careful about that. So, brethren, take this exhortation, this admonishment about divisions. Brethren, we may not have any now, but we don't want any. And we want to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Brethren, we want to have one spirit, and we want that spirit to be the spirit of Christ. And so we'll stop right there and take our prayer request. But let's dismiss in prayer, and then we'll take some requests for prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this short portion in the first letter to the Corinthians. We pray, Father, that you would teach us from this first century church. Father, teach us from what you taught them. Lord, you said in Acts chapter 18 to Paul, stay there and preach for 18 months, for I have much people in this place. And Father, now I believe they're right here in this church, but now they needed to be taught. They needed to be disciplined. They needed to be trained. They needed to be pointed to the good and right ways of God. They needed to heed the commands of Christ as Paul would pen them. And so now, Lord, we ask that you'd help us, O God, to follow you with all of our hearts. Lord, help us to understand the scriptures which you've written to us, Father, by the pens of men. We thank you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.